Good morning. Today is Friday. Yes, it is the 3rd. And it's not the 13th. It's the 3rd of February. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager, Mr. Miles Slattery.
Good morning, sir. It is the 3rd, too.
No, I
didn't have to look up at the calendar, though.
The good morning part is where I was focused.
Okay.
Geez. Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
I am.
Limerick. Why do we say
Limerick? It's an Irish thing.
Good move.
Limerick, huh?
Yes.
There's an origin to that. I'm going to have to say, I don't know enough about it. I'll say it has something to do with the clover.
Okay.
And there's a certain type of clover that's a limerick, and so.
A species.
Yes.
Botanical species.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No.
I didn't think so.
Many people either enjoy limericks hugely or positively hate them. Enjoyment of the funny little poems is natural, according to one account of the word's origin. Norse conquerors of Ireland built in the south a brand new town of their own about 920 AD. Borrowing from their own language, they called the place Limerick. When the invaders were driven out, the victorious Irish sang a taunting refrain in which the Norse were asked, "Will you come up to Limerick?" Detective work by scholar Ernest Weekly turned up a modern essay by a Jesuit priest. In it, the father wrote that a single stanza poem from Edward Lear's Book of Nonsense was not a lyric, but a limerick. Stumbling over his own invented title, readers confused this with the name of the Irish city and called the special form of verse a limerick.
Hmm.
So it's really, I guess, Nordic.
Yeah. A little bit of Irish.
Yeah, right? I don't think about clovers when I think of Norway, but jeez. Hey, when are you going to pave Myrtle, dude? Holy cow, it's almost as bad as what Harrison was when you needed a half track.
Yeah.
Remember before they undergrounded PG&E?
Yes.
Holy Toledo, that thing is molar jattering.
This summer, you know, we're going to do another $3.5 million of paving, just like we've done the last couple of years. I don't know if that's. I do know for Old Town's on the list. Old Town's going to get repaved.
Like where the intersections.
I think it's
the fake brick.
I think it's, and don't quote me on this, but I think it's C to G, or I think it's C to G and first to fourth.
Also, it's pretty much
entire Old Town.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And then.
And you're going to do that during summer?
So that's discussions that we're having with Main Street. You know, ideally we can do it on off hours, but that makes it really difficult. So that's a coordination balancing act that we're going to have to work on as far as timing.
Difficult because it's nighttime, or difficult because you're still
chopping it up? Residents, you know, you're going to get a
How
very
many people
loud
live down there?
You'd be surprised, a lot.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't know the exact number, but there's a lot.
Because I would think that that would be more advantageous than chewing it all up in the middle of the tourist season.
Well, see, that's the thing, is we're going to be discussing it with Main Street and pick the time of season for it to happen.
Well, winter would be ideal.
Not really.
But then it's wet.
My first experience with a public contract job, I was thrown into the world of sidewalk projects, and I was working with my buddy Rick Olson down in
ADA.
And we were doing the crosswalks and replacing the brick crosswalks, and there was a certain owner that was down there, and I didn't, you know.
Initials SS?
I didn't think that the timing was such a big deal, but I came to learn really quickly because I did it during. It was after Thanksgiving and before Christmas, and it was pretty entertaining. So we get there, the owner's really not pleased and yelling at Rick and telling Rick that he didn't notify her, and a reporter was down there from the Times Standard, and it got pretty interesting. But yes, we're well aware of the timing and making sure that the business owners are kept informed as to when we do it.
Or asking for their input is always nice.
Yeah, that's what we're doing now.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't accommodate everything, but definitely for the time of the year, we can.
So I would think you would go one street at a time. So let's say the letters.
Yeah.
So let's say if it was G, okay, you go G down so everybody can kind of work around.
Yeah, and we'd minimize.
And then you move it down to the next one instead of.
Yeah. And depending, you know, some of the jobs that we do, depending on the condition of the pavement, sometimes we don't do the parking lanes. I would assume in Old Town we will be doing the parking lanes. But I think Myrtle's on the list. I don't know when it is. I know that there's a the next big one is going to be I for a long one stretch. We did Henderson. Oh, and Harris is going to be on the list, I think, this year, if not the following.
It would be interesting. I haven't seen a traffic study in so long.
Yeah.
But to compare Myrtle versus H.
Are you claiming to be an engineer?
No, I just knew one a long time ago, and I got the printouts, and it was like, it was really, you know, those little bumps that you drive across the cords.
It's not always intuitive. You know, they have the pavement management system, which acronym is kind of funny, but they you know, base it on frequency of travel, daily truck traffic, condition of the road, and that's how they all.
I would think emergency vehicles too.
Not necessarily. I mean,
you've got ambulances riding on it versus, you know, somebody driving in their neighborhood. Yeah, there's a safety.
There is, and I think that those typically
gurneys going out the back end of the ambulance is not a positive thing, dude.
No, I know, but the route that they're taking is typically where you're going to have more daily truck traffic anyway, so it's going to rise to a higher priority. Yeah.
Right, you're agreeing with me. You know that.
I am. Yes.
You better back off. Do we need a break here so we can reset?
I do. I do know that they don't like speed humps. We've learned that.
Yeah, I would think that would tend to rearrange things on the inside of their vehicles.
Yes, it does.
And
slows them down as well.
Yeah. Well, that's the concept, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You put a speed bump in to slow vehicles down.
100%.
Jesus. Maybe I could. Apparently, maybe I am overqualified to be a street engineer.
I think we have an opening for an engineer tech in the streets division. So.
Oh, not in technology, no.
No, it's just a tech. It's more like a technician position.
Do I get my own shovel?
Oh, 100%. And a yellow jacket.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And a big pad on the top so I can lean on it?
Yes. I could tell a pretty good story about an old engineer tech that we had when I was first hired.
I think we better go to break instead. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian Coconut Water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's Homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. How is Carson Park coming along? You see a little bit of construction, a little bit of activity going on kind of down where, I guess, what used to be bocce ball. No. It was shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard's still there. We still got shuffle.
Is it?
Yeah.
Those cement things aren't sitting on them?
I don't think they're on top of them. I think they're out to the side. It's going great. So we're working with the College of the Redwoods on that. And then our chief building official, Brendan Riley, is a general contractor. So he's kind of running that job. We just got the new basketball court poured. So it's a full-size regulation basketball court in concrete. We got the structures. We're going to work with, hopefully, Hamanaka to get it striped. And then we have a brand new restroom. All of the framing is up. And they're trying to seal it up right now, and we're ordering the all the fixtures to be put inside. So we'll have an ADA restroom there with an ADA path to it and a new basketball court. And then we're going to still work with Strombeck on hopefully finishing the next phase, which would include pickleball courts.
Steve is working on that?
Yeah, that's how this pretty much started was Steve reached out to originally Eureka City Schools, and then we all met and looked at different properties. That's how this whole design was brought up. He wants to put in 8 pickleball courts there. We were about to do all the project in one phase, and then we had some hiccups. And so we reached out to College of the Redwoods, and they were looking to do some commercial work because they typically only do residential.
Oh, this is for their class?
Yep. And so we took a portion of the funding that was going to go towards that and just split it into two phases, one the basketball court and the restrooms, and then the next phase will be the pickleball courts.
So two different semesters? Is that the concept?
No, the pickleball courts was going to be donated by Strombeck's, you know, the label for that. And so that's what we're kind of working on, is figuring out the logistics of that.
Now, there was a little bit of a whoop-de-whoop. See?
I could that be a should have been the
civil
word of
engineer.
The day.
Yes.
That whoop-de-whoop. I wonder if that's in the book.
About the building that was there. Now, yeah. I don't know, not to date myself, but when I was in high school, I was like one of the park kids.
Yeah.
Not played there, but the paid staff that was there.
Yeah.
And it was falling apart at that point.
Yeah.
Was that somebody's house at one time?
It was the Carson Lodge is what it's called. And I think it was relocated there in, I don't know the year, but that was a big faux pas on my behalf. We worked with Old Town Rotary for a long time before Strombeck got involved and started talking about pickleballs. But we were, pickleball, not pickleballs, but we were working with the Rotary because the Rotary, you know, kind of adopted that park. So when they do the Rotary Parade, they, you know, have facilities to work from and those type of things. And so we had plans of tearing that down, putting up a new restroom and concession stand. Got way too far in the process, and because of my ignorance, it turns out that is listed on our registry. It's a historical building. Not only is the building historical, but the pergola is historical. So
so you didn't jump in it. You dove into the deep end. That's why.
I really did.
Yeah, okay.
So well, luckily we caught it, and so as a part of this phase as well, we're hoping to have the College of the Redwood folks and their students potentially next semester. I don't know if it could be a part of that. We're hoping that it can. But to, you know, fix up the outside, take off the bars on the outside, and then do some interior work so that it can at least be used as an event space or some space for the Rotary when they do the Rotary Parade.
Yeah, it was a pretty small. That's my recollection. There wasn't a ton of space in there anyway.
There, I mean, it depends. What you, I think it's probably like a 20 by 30. It's not that small.
I was thinking about 15 kids.
Yeah.
It's about what you could yeah. handle in there at
the
one
restrooms
point.
Are probably yeah. what you're really thinking about because they're very dungeon-esque. Oh. The restrooms are tiny.
If I never used them, that could be defined in a couple different ways, and I'll just kind of back away slowly from that one. so you've got that, and then you've got the garden side of it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would be southwest corner?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Now, is that going to pretty much still stay the same with all the...
Yeah, that wasn't planned on, you know, that we had a whole design that revamped that whole area there and even kind of, you know, adjusted the playground. And so we had to revisit everything after we found out that we couldn't touch it. And I was surprised to know that... not only is the building itself historical, and that triggered design things that we had to do for the existing restroom. We had to make sure that it was in
compliance.
No, just in the same vein of the existing building.
We oh, like the same theme.
We couldn't have yeah. put a log pooper up there. We had to put something that kind of mimicked the historicity of the
oh, okay.
Carson Lodge.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then the. I don't know. I know what an arbor is what I would call it.
The pergola.
That thing.
Yeah, that's okay. Part of it. So that needs to be maintained as well.
Okay. So it became kind of cool then.
Yeah.
Instead
and I, you
of
know,
going in just, and just, you know, making something.
Yeah, and now we'll still have the restrooms. We're still in compliance because we have the ADA restrooms. Those other restrooms can now be used as well because.
Oh, so you're picking up an extra one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
We just need to. if you could see the inside, we need to do some serious upgrades and stuff.
Yeah, well, something called maintenance helps out an awful lot. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. Miles, what's the overall condition of the parks in Eureka? I know, you know, there's a tension. You know, we mentioned Carson, 2030 is getting some. Highland, Ross. I mean, there's a number of the other ones that are, well, they're not as visible for a lot of folks.
Well, the problem is that they're in an area where there's a lot of kids of that age that
should
be having.
Well, they're neighborhoods.
Yeah. The neighborhood at Highland Park is something, ever since I was even in public works all the way back in the early 2000s, was, you know, a park that had a lot of deferred maintenance. So we put in a new basketball court there. We do have funding now. We're about to go out to bid to redo that entire park. But the problem that we have with Highland Park and Ross Park, Highland Park is it's in a disadvantaged area, which is good for grant funding, but there's also a criteria called park deficiency, and they look at the amount of parks in that area within, I think it's a mile radius or something like that. And what kills Highland Park is that they consider
Fort Humboldt?
They consider Fort Humboldt a park, and it's a huge
acreage. Do they know what it
acreage.
Is?
They do, and it's the state that makes this designation, so it's wacky. So anyway, that
couldn't
made
you just
it
take
difficult.
A picture and say, "Well, this field is full of moles," and
it's listed as a park, though. So that we
so
would
it's
have
a designation
to
rather than an actual what's there
exactly. Okay. And same thing with Ross, is it's close proximity to Cooper Gulch, and that's considered a park, and that's 37 acres. So your park deficiency ratings in both of those go down significantly when you get it. So either way, we thought creatively. Highland, we thought really creatively. We did. We had a fine for a local cannabis company, and in lieu of half of that fine, we have that allowed them to donate to the park, and so that allowed us to get $80,000. We worked with.
That's a big fine, dude.
It was 160 was the fine.
For what?
Excess methane for extraction.
Oh, like an air quality thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, just a combustible thing, like it could blow up.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they have to haul that stuff away?
Yeah, they had to go through the proper thing. And anyway, I worked out well, and then we worked with Renner, and not Renner, but Valley Pacific now, and they have naming rights on the new restroom and concession stand, and we got $60,000 for that. And then we got a per capita grant that wasn't competitive to add to it. So anyway, we combined a bunch of funding sources, and we're going to throw some general fund in there. We're going to get all of the fencing and the mesh replaced around the tennis court and around the baseball field. We're going to resurface the tennis courts. Those tennis courts are, I think, the only ones in Humboldt County where there's four full-size tennis courts that are publicly accessible. And then we're going to have a new restroom and concession stand in there as well. So I'm hoping to get that bid out within the next couple of weeks. And that'll be going.
Why would you have a concession stand if there's, you know, it's just kind of a drop-in? Is anybody you?
The baseball field.
Oh, okay, so the baseball field will be brought up to speed also?
Yeah, and the tennis courts will have pickleball lines on them. And there's a good opportunity to do pickleball tournaments. Pickleball is all of the rage now, I can tell you that. Even ESPN picked it up. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Although they pick up cornhole.
Who was
it?
Jimmy Buffett, sponsor of one of the professional.
Well, all the professional pickleball athletes teams. Are getting into it, too. I know. I think LeBron and KD both are into it,
Yeah, those guys got stupid money.
Yeah.
That's not an investment. That's positioning. Yeah, it's interesting. So when you're designing parks, do you have the flexibility for trend? So if something becomes popular, you can take advantage of it instead of having to tear everything up, or if something goes out of favor,
yeah.
Is it flexible enough to be able to make those adjustments also?
It totally depends on the funding. Like, we were fortunate enough for we had $6.5 million for 2030 Park. So there was a really long public process with multiple meetings and getting input from the entire community about what needs to go there. But then you look at something like Highland Park, it'd be nice to have the Cadillac, but you got to be able to make it functional. So
I bet you two-thirds of Eureka doesn't know where Highland Park is.
It's a super cool park.
Oh, it is.
It's a super cool park.
Everything, even the way the road is laid out for me is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got memories there, too.
So that's going to get redone, too, because all the routes messed up, jacked up all the trails through there. That'll all get redone. Okay. It's going to be nice. We're going to make it nice. We just didn't have...
You're going to pave the roads in the neighborhood around it, then?
They've already...
Down towards Broadway?
Yes, we will. We did Highland. No, it wasn't Highland. McCullen's. One of the two.
Yeah, well, McCullen's. Yeah, you got...
Yeah.
You got the streetlight there. But either way, when
we get to the funding for the playground, which we're because of our financial situation's much better than it's been in the past, we're putting aside about $1 million a year for non-streets infrastructure. A lot of that's going to go towards our facilities master plan to look at, City Hall, the fire stations, police headquarters, those type of things. But also a portion of that's going to be earmarked for our parks so that we can make sure that we don't get in the situation where we're at now. We've spent decades diverting funds from the parks department. When I was the department head there, we had literally $5,000 in CIP funding for all of our parks, and we had 13 parks at the time. So hence the reason why there's been a lot of deferred maintenance.
Stretched thin.
Yes.
Yeah. Is Sequoia Park, is it all done? Is there still stuff that's going to be happening? I mean, you mentioned the gazebo at Carson Park, and you've got the pavilion that's there. Is that going to get a little TLC, or is this still processing?
There's a brand new playground there.
Right.
With the new restroom. Yep, with the hump and the new restroom. Super popular, and that's doing great. We have another phase of that project. We have taken out the old playground equipment that was...
The swing set's still there, isn't it?
Swing set's still there, but we got rid of the old playtime stuff that was... and we couldn't get parts. We were hammering and duct taping the damn thing together, and so we ended up tearing that out. And so the next phase is to redo that playground. The idea is to make the Duck Pond Road go all the way through to Madrone. Is it Madrone? Yeah, isn't that Madrone?
All the way up and around?
So in other words, back come out, you know where the parking is? Along Madrone. Isn't that Madrone?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that parking there, so the Duck Pond Road comes off of W Street, and instead of going just down to the Duck Pond, it's going to go left, kind of where the restroom, the old restroom is, and then go out to that road, so it could be a loop through the park.
Oh, instead of having to go up the hill.
Go all the way up to O and come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be a loop. You'll still be able to go down to the Duck Pond, obviously, but then that'll be a loop. We'll add some additional parking along that loop and
Is it for more parking?
It'll be for more parking and for access for public safety and those type of things, and for the routes you can drive through.
So the cops can cruise it.
Cops can cruise it too, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next thing that needs to happen is we need to fix... Oh, and this is something that hasn't come out, but the road down to the Duck Pond is in serious disrepair. We need to fix that. And once
what a shock. You mean, make it wide enough for vehicles to
Well, and it's
use?
Sketchy, yeah. So we need to fix that, and then once we fix that, the plan is to stock the Duck Pond for fishing. And I know that's going to frustrate some of our staff, but it's going to happen.
Stock the duck pond
for fishing. Fish.
Wouldn't the fish eat the ducks? Or no, the other way around. Wouldn't the ducks
and
eat the fish?
And that's okay.
Not if your kid is there and you...
Yeah. Well,
or are you thinking
fish
like
anyway.
The fish hatchery?
The fish
they dump 10,000 and exactly. Have a quick fish tournament and buy by Tuesday, it's all gone.
Yeah, so like 5 years ago, we it was the first time that duck pond's been dredged in the history. Like, we couldn't find anything, so we finally dredged that. And at the same time, the reason why we did it is because Fish and Wildlife, there was a bunch of invasive fish getting into Martin Slough, and they were catching them downstream. So we had to do that in order to put a screen in there. So now that we have a screen in there, we can keep them in there and continue.
How deep was the gunk?
It was gnarly.
Yeah. That's safe enough. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery, manager of the City of Eureka. So you're saying that the general fund is looking pretty good at this point. What is the budget process, which you guys are going to be starting here in a couple of weeks?
Yep.
What is that looking like? Are you feeling comfortable or pensive? Where are you on that one?
So we're feeling comfortable. You know, we really want to be in a position and avoid, you know, avoid mistakes of the past. So, I mean, like when I first got hired here in 2006, none of our staff received a raise up until just about 2 years ago. We did a cost of living, I mean, a longevity 1% for 10 years and 3% for 15 or something like that. But that was the only increase because of the budgetary issues and stuff that we had.
Right, we're so, whacking it back over here. It's tough to spend it over there.
We were cutting pretty much the whole time for about 15 years.
Yeah.
So anyway, now our finance director, Lane, has done an outstanding job of putting us in a position and looking forward. We're working on a reserve policy. In that policy and maybe in a potential different policy, we're going to make sure that we set aside money for infrastructure so that we're not having all these deferred maintenance issues. But at the same time, making sure that we have the ability to give our employees COLAs over, you know, every negotiating period that we have so that we can stay consistent and not get in a place where we're having to catch up with significant sums.
Well, but, with this, you know, with the current inflation rate going crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I would think that could suck up almost all of the contingency funds that you might be able to free up from this year.
Well, what we did is we had we gave 15% raises over a 3-year period, and then when the inflation started going bad, we fast-tracked one of those bumps, so we were supposed to get 5% to everybody in January of this year, and because of the inflation in June of last year, we gave 3% of that up front and then added the 2 this time. Then we open up negotiations again coming up here. But the general fund
is... Are you going into a new cycle?
2024? Yes, so it's
so you're doing battle this year?
I think it's July.
You're talking and coming together.
Yeah, we'll likely start in January of 2024.
Oh, you'll wait that late?
Well, it's 6 months before the end of the term. The term ends in July.
Fiscal years?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And so we'll go there. I mean, what we're trying to be, you know, there's other entities around here who have really tried to catch up, and in my opinion, they're not sustainable. You're going to see, in my opinion, some of these other entities that have gone above and beyond that, you know, I think you're seeing it in some of these other entities where they're looking to having to cut people. And we were in that situation before, and we definitely are doing everything we can to avoid that.
Could the city, and I don't know labor negotiations worth anything, does that prohibit you from employing AI and some of those types of things so that instead of having unfilled positions, that you're able to still get the job done so it's not being piled up on somebody, but it's through the use of current technology rather than hiring somebody?
For some things, I guess you could say that. Not cops and not maintenance.
Yeah.
I think that there's some automation in maintenance, and there's different ways of doing maintenance, especially landscaping, those type of things. That can decrease the amount of, you know, need.
Yeah, I know what it's called, but you're not allowed to use that stuff. It comes in a white bottle and you squirt it. Yes. Thanks for coming by, bud. See everybody on Monday. Thank you.